I remember my grandmother used to sing this to me on my birthday.
It's your birthday. We gon' sip Bacardi like it's your birthday. And you know we don't give a fuck. It's not your birthday.
I look at her and I go,
Grammy, what are we doing for my birthday?
And she said, just hanging with the homies. Shorty. She used to call me Shorty.
Mm-hmm.
S-H-A-W-T-Y, Dave, if you're spelling it home.
Shorty.
Yes. We'll belabor the birthday later, but in the meantime, the political side of things, it's going to be a very busy week. Tomorrow is the Illinois primary. More on that later, and Pat Brady will join us as well. There is a 1 in 9.2 quintillion chance he will fill out a perfect bracket. 1 in 9.2 quintillion. Now, we all know you'll be taking time off from your job today. What you don't want is your airline pilot, well, the plane's not flying by wire, filling out his bracket. You don't want your surgeon filling out the bracket in the operating room.
Your dentist.
You don't want your dentist. Well, I said dentist can always kill a little time, right? Dentist can go.
That might be true.
We're going to need about 3 or 4 minutes here for the bond to set. He didn't put anything in my mouth. Trust me, I'm a dentist. So the dentist could probably find the time. But really, anything that involves potential pain to you, you don't want those sort of employees. Now, if you're like me and you're non-essential, you could fill out your bracket at work. So we'll do that, between today and tomorrow's show.
Can you see the pilot kind of worrying there? Okay, Vanderbilt or, I don't know, Vanderbilt, Wichita State. I really like the Shockers in this one.
Yeah, now, I don't know if you're flying today because a lot of planes aren't taking off with the fog situation. But if you are, what you don't want is a Michigan State angry alumnus in the captain's chair.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So, 6-12. I may have to move this balloon. This balloon's a little problematic.
Where you don't like where it
is? I like it
is?
A lot, okay. Actually, yeah. Perfect. It's perfect, really, is what
so
I
put it on
say.
The phone, because you won't use that today.
Exactly. But it's perfect right there. It's even more perfecter. At 6:13, along with all the news previously mentioned, I'll remind you that later on in the program, Kevin will check in from Arizona. Kevin, in his continuing effort to leave the show after filling in with Roe for a few days doing sports, he's now doing baseball spring training in Arizona.
Yeah, what a tough gig. Yeah.
Really, you have to be blessed.
Is he covering the defectors? Is that the team he's with?
I don't know, but that's a good point. Normally, you have to suck up for years to get that gig.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, look, it's all part of his grandmaster plan.
Uh-huh.
If I'd known my season was over, I would be there this week.
Yeah, you would. We were going to send you, but you were planning on more hoops.
I was planning on more basketball.
That's exactly right. I mentioned Pat Brady. Later on in the program, Coach Q will be on the show, and John Kasich, the man that I would like you to vote for tomorrow in the Illinois primary, will be on later as well.
He's out and about with Mitt Romney today. John
Romney
Kasich.
Campaigning here?
I don't know if they're here. Okay. They might be here. I don't know.
At 6:13, Paul Conrad is standing by. And, of course, Paul had a lovely tweet that he sent out this morning to me. I was very touched by that.
You are so beautiful to me.
Paul, we are on the air. We are
Happy
on the air.
Happy birthday, sweet cheeks.
We are on the air. Stand by.
You?
Oh, I forgot.
Sorry I didn't wake you up before I got out of bed, but I just want to tell you, I love you.
I love you too. Stand by. I forgot your theme. Hit it. I remember when I was little, my grandmother used to sing this to me for my birthday.
Yeah. Boom.
We're just hanging with the shorties. So anyway, Paul, thank you. Thank you.
Listen,
always,
I love
always
something on the kitchen table for you. Hope you got it.
Oh, the pictures you paint.
Yeah.
Yes. So, how was your weekend?
It was nice.
Yeah?
Yeah, beautiful day yesterday.
Nice.
Got out and enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, were you in Ducks?
Yeah.
Who was
beautiful.
Up there?
Yeah,
okay,
awful.
Cool.
I'm good.
Yeah, and a big week ahead for all of us. Have you decided who you're going to support tomorrow in the Illinois primary?
Not yet. I like to make that decision, you know, literally as I'm getting out of the car and walking in.
I have made a commitment that the only way I'll vote for Donald Trump tomorrow is if he personally punches me in the face. Would you like to sign up for that program?
Actually, I wouldn't mind a good smackdown every once in a while, as long as it's on me.
All right, so Paul and I have started a new thing. You guys tell me if you're in. The only way we'll vote for Donald Trump is if he punches us in the face.
That's what you guys are going to.
Well, you're a journalist.
I'll take any punch in the face.
Dave, you have no credibility in this department.
No,
so
not
would
at
you
all.
Like to be punched in the face by Donald Trump?
So that then you
that
would
make you vote for Trump if he personally punches you in the face.
I would then vote for him.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't see that happening.
That is confusing.
Even if you get punched in the face.
Yeah, especially if I get punched in the face.
It gets more and more complicated.
All right, it really does. All right, Paul, so you and I are the only ones in this super pack.
And I'll punch you in the face if you punch me in the face.
Well, but listen, I know who I think I'm going to vote for.
Right.
But if Trump personally gets out of a limo in front of the
Gives you a little love.
He gets out of the limo in front of the Trib Tower, and he walks into the studio and punches me in the face.
You're in.
I will vote for him.
All right. Easy enough.
You got to go do weather now, don't you?
It's getting close. It's getting close.
You can always tell when the answers get shorter.
Uh-huh.
All right, happy birthday to me.
All my love. Hope that you got everything that I sent you.
Got everything, and the tests are fine. It's 6:16. Let's get to your traffic. Barry Vandeveld on 720 WGN. Nice touch. A little Warren Zevon. Lawyers, guns, and money. Oh, I was asking, am I losing my DJ confidence? My old DJ flashback?
Talk up to the post.
Yeah, there is no post in this one. Nice text from our friend John DeCoste. Happy birthday, mofo.
Oh, that's nice. He means like my friend, right?
My friend
mofo.
Happy birthday, my friend. All right, everybody, have a nice weekend. Mary, how was your weekend? Did you do anything special, Mary?
What did I do?
Time's up. Dave, how was your weekend?
My weekend was very nice. I watched a lot of basketball.
And you were running around for Channel 9 all weekend.
I was, yeah. We were with Bernie Sanders' campaign Saturday, and then we followed up on the Trump rally also that day. And yesterday we were talking to the woman who did the Heil Hitler.
Yeah, this is at the...
Symbol, I guess you could say.
Was this at the Friday...
Gesture.
Friday non-rally?
Yeah, this was at the rally. And then ended my day yesterday with Bill Clinton and then at the Southside Irish Parade.
Yeah, Andrea. Was it Andrea or Andrea? Either way, you're pretty. So did you get a chance to get up close to the big guy?
I did, yeah. They didn't... Obviously, there were no one-on-one interviews. But yeah, we were very close.
Did he wink at you?
No, but he gave a very nice speech at the Rock of Ages Baptist Church in Maywood. Very, of course... pumping and stumping for Hillary. Mm-hmm. But it was a very good speech. He's very motivational, and he knows his Bible. He's quoting from the Bible.
Well, as Hillary said a while ago, that she is not a natural campaigner, and she made a point last night in the town hall, she's better at doing the job than getting the job, which, you know, was coached up or not, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
But Bill and Obama, they just love that stuff. Mm-hmm. They love mixing it up with the people.
Oh, yeah.
Love it, love it, love it. And that's what was going on yesterday and last night. Now, the Bernie Sanders rally was peaceful?
It was more of just a news event. It was kind of like a press conference, and they had all of these education. They had a principal from Blaine Elementary School. They had LaShawn Johnson, you know, the young motivational speaker who's 9 years old.
Trump is claiming that Bernie Sanders protesters are showing up at his events.
Bernie says that's absolutely not the case.
I don't know how you could get that many old Jewish guys to show up and yell at people.
Well,
you Trump people, you don't know what you're talking about. Come over here. Come to my rally. Have some soup.
How about Larry David on Saturday Night Live?
I didn't see it.
Oh, my gosh.
I heard it was great. I did not see it.
Very good.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and if we have time, we'll run the commercial, too. The woman that plays Hillary.
Kate McKinnon.
Kate McKinnon.
Oh, she's a riot.
She does a commercial where she actually transforms into Bernie Sanders.
Right throughout the commercial.
Yes. Yeah.
But, you know, I should be quick to say, too, Bernie was saying that they're whether or not his supporters are showing up at the Trump rallies, is not Bernie Sanders' decision to say, oh, hey, he's not calling. There's not like an all call out there where he's saying that's the party's denying that he's not saying to his volunteers, get out there and disrupt these rallies.
Let's be clear on what happened Friday night, because Friday night, Trump, because he's a pathological liar, Trump said Friday night the CPD recommended he shut it down.
Yes.
No one in the Chicago Police Department told Trump to shut it down.
Right. And Patty Vasquez actually took a great picture. She was at the outside the rally, and it was very peaceful, very calm. There was a ton of police presence, but they were standing there monitoring. You know, they were doing their jobs. There was no disruption or anything like that.
The point of why it matters whether or not the police told them to shut it down is Chicago police said we had plenty of people ready to go, and none of the violence that you saw on CNN or whatever news channel you watch, and on the local news as well, happened until the event was canceled. The event was canceled by Trump.
Correct.
So when the event was canceled by Trump, that's when the protesters, and by the way, Trump's not wrong about this. Many of those protesters are paid professional protesters, hired by super PACs to go in and be disruptive. But if disruptive is chanting for someone else, that's your constitutional right to protest. Now, in within the confines of a private event or an event that's ticketed, security can remove you. But they can't beat the hell out of you on the way out the door.
No.
So the point being, if Trump didn't pull the plug on the event, and I'm glad he did because I think it would have been ugly, but if Trump didn't pull the plug on the event, none of the scraps that broke out would have broken out. It had nothing to do with the Chicago police. It had nothing to do with local police authorities doing it.
Correct. And it started inside.
Yes.
And then spilled outside into the street. So you're right. There were peaceful protests going on all day long. Luis Gutierrez was out there. Some of the other aldermen. There were Chuy Garcia. There were very peaceful protests outside all day. They were just holding up signs. And at night is when it got nasty.
And if you're all in for Trump, you're not going to change your mind.
They love me.
But if you are on the fence at all, even if you're leaning towards Trump and you haven't been inundated with the coverage, just know that after what happened Friday night in your town, Trump was on every interview, at every rally, and on all four news shows yesterday morning, saying he would not take responsibility for the violence and he had nothing to say to his people because it's not their fault. They're disresponding. And if you get hit, you have to hit back. Okay, does that sound like your next president? I mean, I'm just asking. It doesn't for me, but I'm just asking for you. Is this the person you want to represent the country? More on that later as well. 6:27. Let's take a break, come back.
Woke up after midnight, both my neck and arms were sore. On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before.
Makes me laugh as we play this so often that I know.
And I wish that there was someone I could call.
I mean, there's people driving to work right now and they're singing this in the car.
The WGN hotline. I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Brought to you by Northwestern Medicine.
That's low. Fungus on my toe and
Impact Everyday Doctor Kevin Most, proud Kansas Jayhawk. I'm picking you guys to win it all.
Well, thanks. I hope a lot of people do, and I hope it happens. You know, we haven't won since 2008, so we're overdue.
Yeah. Ooh, I don't know how you do it.
What does Dave Ennett think, though?
This is
Dave Ennett, who just came home early from Indianapolis.
Yes. You haven't won since 2008, huh, Doc? Actually, I'm going to Michigan State.
All right.
Go Big Ten.
Could they face each other? I haven't looked at the bracket yet.
They could face each other in the championship game.
It would be the final game.
It would be the final. Yeah, in Houston.
That'd be the one I was talking about.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, they wouldn't. I meant they would face each other.
Sorry, no need to explain, my friend. Daylight savings time. Does this whack with us at all? Does this make us crazy?
Hey, wait, before I start, because I'll get in trouble if I don't. My mom told me to wish you a happy birthday.
Oh, I love your mom.
No clue how she knows it's your birthday, because you keep it so quiet.
Well, she's a good person. You and your brothers are shady, but she's a good person. Your sister and your mom are good people.
Yep. Yep. Yeah,
but you knew that.
She said to make sure to wish you a happy birthday.
Well, we love her. Daylight savings time yesterday, aside from all the jokes about, I feel weird, I feel different. I mean, is there any help part of this that we ought to know about?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. And like you said, it's an hour, it makes you feel a little weird for a little bit. But it's when you look at statistics and science, we often do that. We find that two things happen. We have a higher incidence of strokes for these first couple days after daylight savings times and a higher incidence of heart attacks.
And that seems insane to me. Why would it make that big a difference?
Yeah, and it does. It goes, why would just an hour difference of sleep do that? Well, our body is set up with circadian rhythms, and we have the triggers of sunlight to tell us when we should wake up and when we should go to sleep. And for this, it's more when you should go to sleep, to be honest with you. So your body gets used to, as it gets dark, you're going to have a certain amount of time before you go to sleep. Because right now, when you're waking up, some people are waking up for the past couple of months or a month or so, and it's been light out, and now it's dark. So there's bigger stresses on the body. We think it's because you have higher blood pressure at that time. And actually, there's some immune responses that may cause inflammation, which, again, leads to the chance of both a heart attack or a stroke.
That's the type of thing that you would never, ever, ever, ever think is related. But when there's something that seems that subtle that can make such a big difference, isn't the logical conclusion to draw there that everything we hear about rhythms in life, going to bed about the same time every night, getting up about the same time, that's all legit?
Yeah, very legit. And people say, oh, no, this is just, are you crazy? Where did you get this information? You know, what they do, the thing is called a retrospective study. So they can look back. They look back, and they did a study in Finland. That's going to come out here in just a couple of weeks. So this is new data. They looked at 9 years of data and looked at the number of strokes, and they compared it to the strokes on every other day and showed this increase. And the only thing that they could come up with was the change to daylight savings time.
Just amazing.
Yeah, so now we start to look at it and go, wow. So tell me more about why that could happen. And we do know that sleep actually is associated with many of the physiologic changes that protect us from having a stroke. Decreased heart rate, decreased blood pressure, things like that. So now when we have that bolt or jolt of additional stress, we see this increase in strokes.
Speaking of bolt or jolt, when we come back, talk about the right way to get out of bed. Because here's what happens. The daylight savings thing throws you off. You forget to set your clock ahead. You wake up, your timing's off, you're late for something, and you jump out of bed. Yep. I'm told, and this is the big tease, especially if you're about to jump out of bed, I'm told that if you jump out of bed too quickly, that you could also cause yourself to have a major medical malady.
You're right.
All right, stand by.
What kind of major medical malady?
Well, that's really, you got to wait 90 seconds. I mean, if you're in the middle of a heart attack now, call 911. It's 647. Let's get traffic first.
Hear them singing happy birthday. Better think about the wish I make. This year gone by ain't been a piece of cake.
Every day's a revolution. Pull it together and it comes undone. Just one more candle and a trip around the sun.
Very nice. Thank you, Mary. Mary Sandberg pressing the buttons, and Mary and Ross producing the show today. It's a nice touch. By the way, Dr. Kevin Most rejoins us, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine Impact Every Day. Andrea has blown up about 1,000 balloons here in the studio, and yeah. She's gotten lightheaded.
I was going to say, it's great exercise for her.
Yeah, so could my birthday cause her a health problem?
No, probably not. That headache, that shortness of breath, that should be gone by now. If it's not, then we have other problems.
We do.
You okay now?
No, I'm good.
All right. That was me, by the way. So here's the deal. We're talking about daylight savings time, and is it a health risk or isn't it? But we were talking about that jolt you get, that thing you get, that start of the day thing. Yep. I remember Ron Santo telling me, he said, I just got back from my cardiologist, and he said, I got to sit up when I get up in the morning on the edge of the bed for a minute or two before I stand up and get going. And this was not related to the fact that he didn't have legs, by the way. This was just some advice for everybody. Because your engine needs to have time to start. Otherwise, you force blood to explode to the parts of your body where there could be problems, and that sort of linkage could cause bigger issues, strokes and heart attacks. True?
True. Very true. So when we're sleeping, and actually it's funny, you know, for your little tease there, I just got a note from Dr. Giblin who told me, hey, don't make a joke of this. I actually got out of bed and sprained my ankle this morning. So,
yeah, but that's Dr. Giblin.
Right. So, no, really, when you are sleeping, two things I would recommend to people. One is get an alarm that does not blare right away. That's a jolt. You're going to get increased heart rate. It startles you. You don't want that. You want a an alarm clock that gradually gets louder, so it eases you to wake up. Once you're awake, lay there, get up and sit, like you said, and just get your wits about you. But what actually happens there is when your body is laying flat, the heart is at its least productivity. It doesn't have to do much because of it's not working against gravity. There's no energy being used. And now you're going to start get up and moving. So like Ron used to say, sit there for a second. Your heart rate will slowly increase because now it's got to work a little bit harder. It allows you to get your wits so you don't sprain your ankle getting out of bed. Then as you get up and start walking, now your heart rate is going to increase and your blood pressure is going to increase. Much easier on your body to do that gradually than to do it with a jolt. So definitely what you said was absolutely true.
So here's one from the 630. About a week and a half ago, I jumped out of bed at 3 a.m. because of a leg cramp. I passed out. My wife called the ambulance and went to the hospital. Everything's okay, but scary. I'm an otherwise healthy 48-year-old male. So that's exactly what we're talking about.
Well, yeah, and that's two things can happen there. The bad thing about it is leg cramps, you know, when you get that, why do you get it? It can be overuse. It can be decreased potassium. There can be a lot of things. But really, when that leg is cramping, when you get out of bed, you can't stand on it. So two things happen there. One, your heart rate goes up, and now your balance system is totally off as well. Numerous people have had issues like that and have fallen and hit their heads on things. So be really careful with that. You would rather stretch that leg cramp out than get up with a jolt as well.
Now, we want to talk for a second about the health benefits of daylight savings time. I think it's probably obvious to most people, but if you didn't see it this weekend, you certainly will when the rain stops. Everybody's out. Everybody's going for a walk. People are starting to get spring fever. And therefore, you're more active, you're moving, and, you know, generally speaking, that extra hour of daylight at the end of the day is going to make you healthier.
It will. That's probably one of the biggest things. And, you know, people like you and I, we can't play golf at 8 o'clock, you know, a lot of times of the year. But we, in the summer, we can. And now, as daylight savings time has allowed that evening light to go on, it has allowed us to be out and be more active. I was out for a walk on Saturday, and I couldn't believe how many people were out walking, how many people are out walking their dogs. And it's just kind of nice to see people out and getting around. And actually, that's the thought of having a dog actually does increase your health benefits as well, because you are out exercising and you're out walking. And it is the one big benefit of daylight savings.
And the golf piece of this, I can't ever play at 8 a.m. Oh, you know, unless I take the day off. And by the way, if I'm never not here at 8 a.m. and I claim I'm sick, it's not true. I was lying. I made it up so I could go play golf. So
yeah,
just so we're clear on that. There was somebody else who texted, said they jumped out of bed and got vertigo. That's that crystal in the ears thing that you can knock loose. You told us about several times.
Correct. Yep.
So Dave Ennett had that.
I did have that, and it's miserable.
But it is.
But it apparently it stays with a lot of people. I was able to get rid of it.
Yeah, some people actually can get rid of it fairly quickly. Some people last for hours, but other people can get it and can have it chronically, and it can last for days, weeks, months, unfortunately. And if you haven't had it, you're very fortunate, because it's one of the worst feelings you can have. And it's part of that balance system that we know we have receptors on the soles of our feet, we have our vision, and then we have our inner ear. And as long as all three of those are working, we don't get dizzy, we don't have vertigo. But unfortunately, some people do get debris in what we call their inner ear, and that can cause the vertigo, and that is not fun. And actually, jumping up out of bed can dislodge some of that stuff, can cause vertigo.
It's Dr. Kevin Most. Do you have a question?
No, he gave. Thank you for your advice this weekend, Doc, too. He gave me some great advice. Don't ever sleep in your contacts.
Yeah.
For more than 2 weeks at a time. Thank you.
I don't know anything about this topic, but you can sleep in your contacts?
No, you should not. You should not. That's how I scratched my eye.
Because I know you were miserable on Friday. Yeah. Doc, last question. My lower back was torqued by a chiropractor who was built like a linebacker. It twisted me like a pretzel. I've had chronic pain in my lower back, but also my left. I don't know what this is. Maybe it's a spelling thing with the texture. Inguinal zone? I-N-G-U-I-N-A-L?
Yep. Yep, inguinal area, yep.
All tests are negative. What could be going on? Pain is unbearable at times. Thank you.
Yeah, that's the bad thing about back strains, is you can have all your tests be completely normal because pain is subjective, not objective. In other words, I can't look at an x-ray and say you're going to have pain. So that discomfort is usually due to nerve irritation or muscle irritation or ligament irritation, especially after vigorous chiropractic manipulation. So lay low with it right now. Take anti-inflammatories, warm soaks, and if you're going to do anything, do a soft massage, not a vigorous massage, and not a high impact chiropractic.
You know, I got that lower right back thing that I have off and on. It's been a problem all winter. And you know what I got, which really helps, is one of those massage bars.
Yep.
Because how often can you get people to go, hey, rub my back? But that massage bar, you can actually, you know, massage the disc. What is it, fluid? We always call it the jelly in the donut. Whatever's leaking.
You do while you're standing up?
Yeah, you can actually massage it back into place as much as possible.
Yeah, I really recommend people who sit in a lot in chairs when they work, make sure that they have that good lumbar support, because that's where you're really going to have your back problems, is that lower back area.
Well, you know what else I do? And I did it this morning, because you know my back's been a problem for a while now. I take a tennis ball, and I put a tennis ball, and basically I find the spot on my back that hurts the worst. And I'm not a sadomasochist, trust me. But I put it right there and then, you know, drive with that on that spot, and by the time I get out of the car, I feel good.
Absolutely. It's the exact same thing that happens with massage therapists when they hold and push down to that area. And what that's doing is you have a muscle that's spasming there. And if we put enough pressure on it, we're going to break that spasm from happening. And that's exactly what that tennis ball is doing.
And there's also a thing called a Theracane, which I got from my physical therapist. And it's great for trigger points. You just use this Theracane. I love that thing.
Is that the curve thing?
Yes. It looks like a big, it's like metal or plastic or whatever.
Remember when we didn't need this stuff?
That's awesome.
Ah, boy.
You mean that was called youth?
Yeah, happy birthday to me. Thank you, buddy. You're always great. I appreciate it.
We'll talk to you soon.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Impact every day. We're back with your news next on 720 WGN.
720 WGN.
Started baseball's famous streak that's got us all aglow. He's just a man and not a freak, Jolton Joe DiMaggio.
Joe DiMaggio, we want you and I.
He tied the mark at 44, July the 1st, you know.
Let me just make a custom
since
this.
Since then, he's hit a good 12 more, Jolton Joe DiMaggio.
Anthony Rizzo, Anthony Rizzo, Anthony Rizzo. Oh, that's not quite as good. Joining us now, live from Arizona, wearing who knows what, it's Kevin Paul. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Morning, Steve. You don't want to know what I'm wearing right now.
No.
So keep that to myself, but happy birthday.
Thank you very much. Are you in the hotel room?
I am.
Yeah. And when did you arrive in Arizona?
Well, after about a three-hour plane delay yesterday, I think I finally got to the hotel around 1 o'clock Arizona time. So about 3 o'clock Central. And then I wasn't able to get in the hotel for another 2 hours, so.
And then, are we on some new system where you don't return my texts?
Did I not text you back? What did I miss?
No, you texted me something about someone not contacting you, and I texted you no why, and then I never got back from you.
Oh, yeah,
is this a new system
that.
We're on where
Steve.
You're, is this part of working for Roe, and now you're out in Arizona, you're just blowing off the show completely, or what's happening?
No, I apologize. I played a little bit of phone tag with you yesterday. I wasn't able to get a hold of
did
you.
Did you play a little bit of golf?
I did not.
Okay. Well, what'd you do in the afternoon? Did you go research the work you're doing this week?
I did a little bit of that, and then I laid down and fell asleep for a couple hours, and then...
So far it's been stressful.
Yes.
This is the WGN sports team in action.
That's right? Exactly right. You can cut the tension with a knife when the sports team rolls. All right, so what are you doing today?
Today I'll be in Mesa, heading to Cubs this morning. And then I will watch Jake Arrieta make his second spring training start later this afternoon. They start at 1 o'clock. So.
One of the main questions about Arrieta this spring is, of course, about his beard. What does it look like?
It looks strong, thick, and full. So well done by Jake. But okay. I'll get a close-up look of that today.
And are you going to have any time with the skipper?
I hope so. This morning I hope to run into him. Do you have anything you want me to ask him, Steve?
Just ask him about the van. Tell him I really like the van, and is he enjoying the van, and what sort of accessories are in the van?
Well, that's something I'm, you know, with this Cubs spring training, it's almost been the talk of the entire league, some of the antics, the Joe Maddon van, the dressing up, the karaoke sessions. Meanwhile, the White Sox have been fairly under the radar, so I'm just sort of looking forward to soaking in both of these camps, as different as they may be.
Do you believe, and we'll save this answer till after traffic, do you believe that you can be unbiased in your coverage of the White Sox and the Cubs, knowing you're a lifetime White Sox fan?
I do. I do, Steve.
We were actually saving that answer till after traffic. All right, Dave, I'm out of material. If you have anything for Kevin,
well,
in just
I do.
A moment. 7:16. Yeah, hold it for just a second. Yeah, right. Let's go to Mary first with your traffic trouble spots. What do you have now, Mary? I've reached an age now where I pay someone to jump for me. Let's get back to Kevin. Kevin Powell, live in Arizona. You're going to be on all the shows all day long, right?
I am, Steve. And I just want you to know I jump for you for free. You wouldn't even have to pay me.
It's a little late for the sucking up. Andrea is worried about you. What were you worried about?
I was worried when Kevin yawned. I wondered if that was a Ronda Rousey yawn.
Oh, he's worried about Ronda Rousey impression?
Yeah, he's working a lot of hours.
Yeah, are you laying down?
No, sitting at the desk here.
Okay.
In my room.
Yeah. Are you worried? Is there someone else in the room with you?
No, I'll keep that to myself, Steve.
Okay. You sound like you don't want to wake somebody up.
Really?
He's
what
not
do you
projecting.
Mean? Am I whispering or
something? He's not projecting. Right, Dave? Am I right about that?
He doesn't. You're right, but I know that having done early morning radio in hotel rooms, sometimes you keep your voice down because the walls are rather thin. You don't really want to wake the person in the next room.
I don't care about the person in the next room.
I know you don't.
Yeah.
I'm doing my best to project, Steve. I apologize. I have been up since midnight local time. It's been a weird night of sleep for me. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like it's been a rough trip. You got a two-hour nap when you got in. Listen, here's my concern. My concern is that you may not be ready for game time today, that maybe we need some help from the listeners. So if the listeners get you questions, can you try to get them answered?
Absolutely.
All right, how do you want to do this?
They can text them in right now or shoot me a tweet at KPowell720 or send it to you and you guys can pass along to me. So
all right, well,
text or tweet.
Yeah, text or tweet. Let's make it simple. Just keep it within the show. At Cochran Show on Twitter or texters at 312-981-7200, whether you're a Sox fan or a Cubs fan. If you have a question you want Kevin to try to get answered today, and even aside from the tough stuff like the van or the beard, he would actually try to get that answered today and this week. So get your questions in. Yes, Dave.
So, Kev, you're going to go over to Sloan Park today, home of the Cubs.
Yes.
They're taking on the Padres. Arrieta's pitching, but really you'll get most of your work done before they ever take the field there in the morning. And then the White Sox are over in Surprise taking on the Kansas City Royals. That's a pretty good hike from Mesa over to Surprise.
40 right, minutes. Everything's 40 minutes in Arizona. Wherever you are in Arizona.
40 minutes, and you'd be, if you're really lucky.
Everything in Arizona is 40 minutes.
With no traffic.
Well, when's he going? He's going at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Doesn't matter out there.
Okay.
In the valley
so.
Right now.
Well, there are a lot of people there.
Yes, there are.
Yes, there are. And a lot of it's side streets.
There are.
Give yourself an extra 10 while crossing the valley.
That's right.
What question would you like Kevin to ask?
Well, I think that I'm curious just to kind of get his sense of the vibe at Cubs camp because you had the build up early. Now you're kind of into this period of spring training where, okay, you're still a few weeks away from breaking camp. You have John Lester is going to work in a minor league game this week. I think Arrieta actually is going to skip his next Cactus League start and pitch a minor league game also. So
yeah, supposed to go to today and Saturday. He'll skip Saturday's start.
Yeah, just kind of a sense of where they are, because there's no question there's a huge buzz around this team. But but are they getting kind of into a comfort zone with that and with the expectations which are surrounding them?
All right. I'll be sure to follow up on that, Dave. But, yeah, like I said earlier, that was sort of the main thing. I'm trying to just soak in and kind of get the atmosphere between both of these teams because, as I said, the White Sox have been sort of under the radar while the Cubs have just been the story of the entire league, really, in just spring training. So a lot of hype with this team. So I'll let you know, Dave. I'll keep you posted.
And, Andre, would you like Kevin to get you any autographs? Because, man, the players love when the media ask for autographs.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Actually,
no, I just
you're not
know.
Allowed to ask for autographs.
Oh, is that
no.
right?
No, you were
no,
not.
No, I don't want any of those. I just want to know if Matt Mertin is going to make the team.
No.
Is this your opinion, or is this based on
well, I think he laid out a case.
Performance.
I think he laid out a strong case for it. No.
Well, he's still coming back from, what, he have an appendectomy, I think, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, he's not going to make the team.
Well, walk it off. It's an appendectomy. Let's go. If he was playing hockey, he'd have to do the next line.
I was going to say,
the
if,
next
he,
shift,
if
I mean.
He was playing hockey, he would have been having the appendectomy on the ice.
He's taking one shift off, and then he's back out there.
Right.
All right, Kevin, good report.
Thank you. Thank you. And I will say this, tomorrow when I'm more White Sox focused out in Glendale, I do have a couple things to talk to Chris Sale about. He's currently on a goal to get to 200 pounds, mm-hmm. to weigh 200 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I myself am on a goal to get to 200 pounds, but we're going in the opposite direction, Steve.
All right, you're headed south, he's headed north.
Right.
Right.
So I'll talk to him about that, and I can give him some tips on how to gain weight. Maybe he can tell me how to lose a few pounds.
Hey, are you still on your fast food, man?
I am.
This is month three.
I know.
How's that going while at the airport?
What's that?
How's that going when you were sitting at the airport? All
airport? How about driving by all the In-N-Out burgers out there?
Yeah. I may have to break that and get an In-N-Out burger.
Well, don't do it, man. You're too strong. It's Kevin Powell reporting live from the desert. He'll be on later. He'll be on with Bill and Wendy. He'll be on with Roe. He'll be on with Justin. He'll be on with Patty. He'll be on with Nick. He'll be really tired when he's on with us again tomorrow morning. So that's why we want your questions for Kevin. Text him to 312-981-7200 or shoot me something on Twitter at Cochran Show. Well, you can Facebook it as well, the Steve Cochran Show. All right, Kevin, back to bed.
See you guys. Happy birthday.
Thank you. 726, big story coming up. 720, WGN. All right, just for 60 seconds, I just want you to listen to me. If you are definitely going to support Donald Trump, you know, I understand, and I don't agree, but I understand. And, you know, I hope you at least take a step back and understand that we won't agree on this. However, if you're on the fence, it's very important that you vote tomorrow, and it's very important that you make your choice. And if you're leaning towards Trump a little bit and you haven't paid a lot of attention to the coverage, I don't blame you. I mean, I took most of the day off yesterday for the first time since this campaign started because I just couldn't take it anymore. But I want you to understand something. In my opinion, and I research this stuff every day, and just sticking to the facts here, I firmly believe everything I've said. Donald Trump is not your savior. Donald Trump is not going to do anything that he said he will do, not because he doesn't want to, but because he can't. It's simple facts. Congress has to make the laws. The president signs the laws. The Supreme Court enforces the Constitution. It's the way the system was set up. So do I believe Donald Trump's a racist? That's between Donald Trump and God. Racism's in your heart. He said some incredibly offensive things, but I don't know if Donald Trump's a racist or not. What I do know is that he lies. He lies constantly. And that's not an opinion. That's a fact. It's backed up by video. It's backed up by statements. And I also know that he's irresponsible and, I believe, not fit for office because he's patently dangerous. His hair trigger temper and his inability to accept responsibility for anything related to him, including the actions of his own supporters when it comes to violence on the campaign, where he wouldn't. And Chuck Todd did a nice job of this yesterday. Chuck Todd tried over and over again to get Donald Trump to respond to a very simple question. Won't you say to your supporters, stop the violence? It's just the grown-up thing to do. If people who are supporting you are involved in fights with other people, it doesn't matter who started it. It doesn't. Don't you want to say, stop the violence? Just stop it. And in the case of the old man that sucker punched the African-American kid who was being taken out of a Trump rally, again, lying completely to the camera. This is a guy who watches every second of coverage that he can about himself. And 24 hours later, he claimed not to have seen the video. It's complete nonsense. There's not a chance he didn't see it. And again, missing the opportunity to say stop it is what makes people think he's a racist, is what makes people think he's dangerous, and really what verifies the argument that he's not fit for your vote. So I hope you'll vote tomorrow, and I hope you'll really give some serious consideration to the fact that I have no axe to grind with Donald Trump personally. I've met him. I've interviewed him. He's welcome here anytime. I don't want him to be the president of the United States because I think he will do vastly more harm than good. That's my concern. Pat Brady will be on to talk about this in a few minutes. 7:32. Let's get to the big story. You ready?
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks? You know, you really ask, what are they doing, right? What are they doing? It's the same thing everywhere.
That's my boy Trump. Good times. Pat Brady will join us in just a second. I have a flaming pancake behind me, and a good-looking little guy here to tell me about it here in a few minutes after we talk to Pat Brady. But this is our friend Dave, and well, we'll get into it in a little bit. But can he help me blow that up?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Steve. Happy birthday to you.
Hey, buddy, turn around here. Oh, blow that up.
Wow.
Turn around here real quick to this thing. Either turn side. Turn this way, buddy. The other way. The other way. Whoop, there you go. What's your name? And how old are you?
Two.
No.
How old are you for real?
Three. Tell him. Talk
Three.
To them.
3 years old. Well, thank you for blowing out that candle, and this is fun. Blow into that for a while, and we'll talk to you on the radio again in just a few minutes.
See you in a while.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Okay.
All right.
Here's some sunglasses for you.
Oh boy! Well, thank you.
That is a good looking. That is a good looking kid.
What a sweetheart.
That is a good looking kid.
What a cutie!
Yeah.
He learned how to blow the thingy.
Yeah. I'm sure Dave will help. @Pat_Brady on social media. Pat Brady was trapped in Arizona. I know there's worse places to be trapped. Are you still out there?
I'm at the airport right now. Happy birthday, big boy.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. All right. So this is a big deal. There is an opportunity tomorrow, as you said before anyone else a couple of weeks ago. Look, we can make a statement in Illinois, not just about the Republican Party, but you can make a statement about democracy and about the future of what we expect out of leadership in this country. Pick it up from there.
Yeah, well, I think the good news is, and I stand on that statement, the good news is it appears Trump will kind of blew up over the weekend with what happened Friday, and then he fired all this campaign staff, which wasn't much, so they're really scrambling. You're seeing Cruz and Kasich. It might be neck and neck here. So I think Illinois, once again, as we talked about, proved they're a lot smarter than maybe some of the rest of the country, and they're going to send a message that Trump's not the right answer for us.
And the reason it's important is because as Trump steamrolls to the nomination, math matters. Regardless of how you feel about Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, if you want to stop Trump as the nominee, the only way to do it would be to have, at this point, a brokered convention, and then the chips are going to fall however they're going to fall in Cleveland. It doesn't look like Marco Rubio is going to pull off some amazing upset in Florida. So it comes down to Ohio and here.
Yeah, it does. And if Trump runs Florida, Missouri, Ohio, and here in North Carolina, it's over. He's mathematically, nobody can catch him, and he's going to go into the convention as the nominee. Right now, we just need to make sure he doesn't go to that convention with 1,237 delegates, and we can have an open convention. For anybody but Trump, it's still a long shot to get the numbers that number for themselves. But today's probably, in my opinion, the biggest day of the election.
But if he goes to the convention with the appropriate number of delegates, and there is a brokered convention, or he doesn't get the nominee, isn't that going to really put the party into a tailspin even more? Or is it at this point, that doesn't matter, the Republicans just don't want him to be the nominee?
I would say the party's in a tailspin right now.
Yeah.
Now, if he goes to the convention with 1,237 committed delegates, then there won't be an open convention. Mm-hmm. If he goes anything less than that, then there will be. But the conventional wisdom is if he's a couple hundred short, then it's very fair to have an open convention because he didn't win the nomination. But, yeah, no, it's all bad because the minute you do that, the 34% that support Trump are never going to come back. So it's not good in any respect, but to send the message of putting a guy like Trump as the Republican nominee will destroy the party completely.
And again, facts matter. So if you go back to Friday night, the Chicago Police Department did not ask Donald Trump to end that or to not do that rally. Again, I think it was a good idea not to do the rally based on the tension that was there. But Trump couldn't wait to get on the air, much like Hillary Clinton. He wouldn't know the truth if it slapped him in the face. And went on the air and said the CPD advised it. They did not. And the real trouble started when the announcement came that the rally was canceled. And that's when the pushing and the shoving and the punches went flying inside the arena at UIC. And then it spilled out onto the street, having the opportunity all weekend long to renounce violence, to say to his supporters, knock it off. That's not the message we want to send. He didn't take it. He didn't take the opportunity at any given time, and it goes back to this lack of empathy, the narcissist that he is. I don't know how any of this from this weekend couldn't have stuck a little bit, especially with those people in the middle including those who might be leaning his way.
You know, I agree with you, Stephen. I'm not as old as you are, so I'm not as cynical.
That's true. We got three weeks till you hit the number.
Listen, I think the thing was a scam from the get-go. There was no reason for that event to be where it was from just a logistics perspective. I do believe that he might have scammed the whole thing and set it up. And that's, I mean, he's an entertainer. He's not a policy guy. He's not a politician. And I could totally see him coming up with that. I know that's out there a little bit, but I wouldn't put it past him. I said that right when it was going down. I go, he set this whole thing up. And I talked to several reporters on Friday that had the same, you know, wondering why he is in that venue, given everything that's happened in this city.
Right.
And you know, so anyway, either way, I don't think it does him any good with the people that are going to vote against him or were undecided on whether they're going to go, the 65% of the Republicans.
Pat, question for you. I was asked this over the week, and I didn't really have a definitive answer. How come at 7:01 or 7:02, once the polls close, you know, realistically, they haven't even counted the votes yet, and yet Donald Trump has declared the winner, or Hillary Clinton's declared the winner? Why is that?
Well, it's just the way they do the exit polling, and then that's how they do it. They just do it all on exit polling and the polling.
Extrapolate the math.
Polling expert, yeah. Yeah, if you ever watch those things, and I'm not a statistician or a pollster, but if you ever watch them, when you get 3% and there's a spread of 8 or 9 points, it stays that way all night. So there's ways to do it beyond my expertise. But
now, having said that, there will come a day, and it may be tomorrow or it may be soon, where this rush to declare a winner is going to blow up in their faces. And
it did in Ohio, remember? And it did in Florida in 2000.
Yeah,
so and the polling has been, you know, Hillary Clinton had a 21-point lead last week in Michigan and lost. So the polling, I think the problem with that polling is they're not predicting who's going to turn out.
Right.
That's where the issue is screwed up.
The fact that, and you mentioned this at the top, that the Trump campaign got rid of their Illinois staff, including a downstate legislator, was it Kelly somebody? I can't think of his name. Who was asked not to run the campaign anymore. Was there ever a ground game here?
No, they've never had a ground game here. They paid, you have to get about 16, 17,000 signatures to get on the ballot. They were paying $5 a signature, so they got themselves on the ballot. But they've never had a ground game. Now, nor does anyone else really, right? Kasich and Cruz have the best ground games, but these are kind of flyby things, so you don't have the typical ground game you would in a statewide race where somebody's actually from here.
Well, we'll go back to where we – I'll let you fly on this, and hopefully you will fly, literally. But let you go on this. The other point you made previously was the money point, and that being that Trump's going to have to start paying his way, or he's going to have to break another one of his absolute promises that he's self-funding. Any news on that front?
Well, first of all, self-funding is a big fat lie. He has not been self-funding at all. All you do is look at the FEC records. He's making loans, and he's not self-funding right now. But the bigger point is he's got to raise, you know, $1 billion or self-fund $1 billion. From what I've read, he doesn't have it, and I don't see how, given Trump and the way he's behaved, he's going to raise $1 billion from major or even small donors. So the bottom line is, Stephen, we've been talking about it for months. If he's the nominee of our party, it's going to be utter chaos and destruction. And the only thing I'm hoping for, if he is the nominee, we get some clarity and we get the party back to what, you know, what it's all about, Lincoln and Reagan and those kind of principles. That's the only silver lining I see if he's the nominee.
Yeah, and if you share my concern about this, or Pat's concern, or anybody's concern that you've heard or watched or seen, again, look, Donald Trump's not my friend. I probably would still play golf with him. I just don't believe he's fit to be the president of the United States, and I believe he has to stop. The only way you can make a statement about that in Illinois is don't just complain about it. Get up tomorrow and vote. Make time in your day. Don't put it off till the end of the day to vote. Last thing, and I know I said the last thing with the last thing, but I forgot one thing, so this is the last thing. Early voting, record numbers of early voting. Obviously, most of that early voting took place before this weekend's activities. Is that likely to go Trump's way?
Yeah, it could go Bernie's way. I mean, I don't know I haven't seen the breakdown between Republicans and Democrats. It could go Bernie's way. And remember, early voting always goes up because more people are early voting. So those comparisons to previous years aren't always accurate.
Right.
Secondly, these may also be people that are already going to vote. And since nobody has a real ground game that can bump up the who voted versus the people that were identified to be your voters, we don't really know. But, you know, it could be Bernie could be driving some of the early voting. And I tell you what, the story tomorrow might be that Hillary loses Illinois because they brought in the Third Army over the weekend. I think they're running scared right now.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, Bill Clinton yesterday. Huge. Can I give you some numbers really quick? So far, almost 130,000 early votes have been cast. This is since as of yesterday afternoon.
Okay.
And it's a 37% increase in 2008 when 81,690 were cast when it was all said and done. And we still have today, obviously, too.
So tomorrow?
Yeah, but again, 2008, it was brand new. It was a down year. So you can't. I've never seen an accurate comparison of early voting to actual turnout and who wins. It's okay. I don't think they've figured it out yet.
Okay. Tomorrow's the day. Please vote. If you're just complaining, you're just complaining. Please get out there and vote. Let your voice be heard. It matters. It's a huge, huge deal. Fly safe, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks. Yeah.
Pat Brady, Next Generation Strategies, and at Pat_Brady. Couple of minutes before 8 o'clock, my friend Dave is here. Let me get the right microphone now. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Morning. Happy birthday.
Thank you, Chef Dave.
Another one we're doing together, huh?
Thank you. How many? That's a lot. We've done
a lot. We go back.
Easter Sunday buffet at the Polo Cafe coming up, oddly enough, on Easter Sunday.
Yeah, a week from next Sunday, after Palm Sunday. Yeah, we'll serve from 10:30 in the morning until 2, and that's in the banquet hall. We also do our sing-along gospel brunch every Sunday in the dining room. But this is the special time when we go into the banquet hall for a big buffet. By reservation, and we'll take families. We just need to know how many are coming.
Number?
773-927-7656 or polocafe.com. The menu's there. It's a big menu. It's always stars lamb, so there's nothing better than some carved lamb on Easter Sunday.
Chef Dave and the Polo staff doing something different, something wonderful, and the traditional Easter Sunday buffet is great. How about this? I've never seen this before. Oven-baked crab cake nuggets.
Oh, sure you have. Oh, we've been serving those. We did those at the Taste of Chicago for years. In fact, we served over 2 million nuggets over the years at the Taste of Chicago.
About fried extra-large shrimp.
Yeah, that's all on the menu, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you.
So I have a big carving station. You know, this is Bridgeport. It's a meat and potatoes neighborhood. We're not pretentious.
It's Easter Sunday. Yeah, should eat.
Yeah, you do it. But this is a big, beautiful buffet in the great old Eagle Room.
773-927-7656. Thanks for breakfast today.
You're welcome. Man, Ron was here. Ronnie's here. He's joined our staff. He helped put the breakfast together.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello. And Bentley's here. He's part of the staff permanently.
Now, this little guy is 3 years old.
Yeah.
That is one of the cutest kids you're ever going to see in life.
What a face
on that kid.
Yeah, but he's also pretty precocious. So,
well, he's three. What do you want from him? He's got stuff to do.
Well, he takes violin. By the way, he's a Suzuki violin student in Western Springs, so he's got the life of a Riley right now, and we're really thrilled to have him.
Well, I bet you are.
He gets up early just to come to see you. So,
well, that's nice hanging out with you.
And we leave for Miami Beach in a few hours for a week. So. Here we go. Life is good. Happy birthday, Steve, so much.
Thanks, buddy.
Always.
And again,
come.
Chef Dave, polocafe.com, 773-927-7656. Thanks, Ben. Where'd you go? Thanks, Ben.
Happy birthday. Bye, Ben.
Thank you, buddy. You're the best.
720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than one night should. Yeah.
Dean Richard joins us now. Good morning, Dean. How are you?
What up? Homie?
What up there, homie? I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. I had a nice weekend.
Yeah?
I was in New York. I saw my Big Fat Greek Wedding 2.
Heard you at the end of your show yesterday saying it's great, but it's not a review.
It's not a review. You know, I can't review it until the actual day that it opens, which is March 25th.
Right.
I'm just saying that if you enjoyed the first movie, I think you will very much enjoy this sequel. All the original characters are back. Story is solid. It's funny. It's touching. All those things. But again, Steve, that is not a review.
Not a review at all.
I would sucker punch anyone who says that that's a review.
Yeah, and you would do that on the way out of the movie theater.
Right.
When just, they weren't looking.
Just some unsuspecting person standing there.
By the way, I don't know if you'll join me on this, but I actually made a pledge earlier this morning. Pat Brady is in on this as well. So far, it's only two of us in the Super PAC. Well, Kevin, I guess Kevin said he would do it, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he said. I think he did. Yeah.
I can't remember. Wasn't there somebody? Oh, Conrad. Paul Conrad.
Oh,
Paul Conrad.
Yeah, that was a Conrad.
Yeah, I didn't ask Brady. So Paul Conrad and I have formed a Super PAC. The only way we will vote for Trump is if he personally punches us in the face.
I'm in on that.
All right, let me put Dean down for that. That ups us to three. So he has to stop in front of Channel 9 or the Trip Tower, come in and punch us in the face.
I would like it on the air,
yeah.
if possible.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, you know, the punch on television.
Sure.
I don't mean the punch, like, in the air.
No.
There has
no,
to be
no,
actually,
it's not a movie punch. It's an actual punch in the face.
Physical contact, blood would be nice.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a broken nose.
That's what we're looking for. So that's an open invitation to Trump if he's looking for three more votes, and he may need them.
Yep.
Is that you and I and Paul are all looking to be punched in the face. And by the way, not by his supporters.
No.
Trump himself.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I want orange makeup on my face when that happens.
He didn't have a good look in Bloomington. Whatever that ferret is on top of his head got blown sideways.
It was windy. Yeah. It was a windy weekend in Bloomington. Yeah.
It was rainy, I think, too, right?
Yeah, which is terrible for your fake hair. All right. And by the way, you were talking about your weekend. My weekend, Saturday, my mother hosted a little pre-birthday thing. And the entire event was stolen by Abigail Grace.
Of course.
All the attention, of course, should have been on me. But it was all on my granddaughter instead.
That'll teach you for having a granddaughter.
Yeah, and a really cute one. Yeah.
When's your birthday? Is it coming up soon?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It started about 8 hours ago. Surprised you missed the parade.
What? How did I miss that?
And
to be sucker punched.
In addition to that, Saturday night, thanks to my friends of the Roth, Jim and Luann, I was lucky enough to once again be asked to be a part of the Joliet Catholic Academy fundraiser, where I was the auctioneer, the MC, and the valet parking attendant. And so the great people out there.
Quite a position of honor for you.
All right, let's go through some of this. Madonna had a meltdown.
So she's on stage in Australia, comes out on stage riding a little tricycle.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Which is
odd. That's how I enter.
Falls off the tricycle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not entirely clear whether that's intentional or not. But in the middle of the show, she starts ranting about this bitter custody battle that she's in with her ex-husband, Guy Ritchie, over her son, Rocco, who doesn't want to live with her. He's 15 now. He wants to live with his father in London, thinks that Madonna's lifestyle, being on the road, all that stuff, is he doesn't want that. He wants to live with his father. So they're in court with that whole thing right now. Madonna starts calling the ex a son of a bleep. Pulls out a flask and is chugging whatever beverage was in that flask.
Mm-hmm. Tang. It was Tang.
People nearby said it was a clear liquid.
Mm.
So unless Tang has some new vodka-flavored
could be.
Powder. She dedicated a song to her son that's called Intervention, while pictures of him flashed on the stage. But she just was... just completely out of it. Is the way that, you know, this has been distraught, upset.
I'm going to go way out on a limb here, Dean, and that is, if you're trying to reach your son to say it's better to live with mommy, becoming a viral video where you're sideways drunk on stage and crying is probably not going to get it done.
I'm not a parenting expert, but I think I would agree with you.
Yeah. Well, I hope she gets her act together. Now, the fact that she's 57 years old and she's riding a tricycle is fairly impressive, but, you know, that's something else. Probably not the point of your story.
Impressive 15-year-old.
Yeah. Richard Simmons is okay?
So this has been trending now for a couple of days, that Richard Simmons is missing, that Richard Simmons is being held against his will. Nobody exactly knew where he's been. It's been a really bizarre thing. Of where is Richard Simmons, who has always been, you know, personality plus, very public, very out there.
Steven, hello!
Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
I actually had him jump on me like a little monkey once in the hallways at WGN. He was coming from one way, I was coming from the other.
Right.
He screams my names, and he jumps on me.
Oh, he's more fun than a puppy.
Like a little monkey, like a little greased up monkey.
Yeah.
So anyway, this has been viral for the Where's Richard Simmons. Last night, NBC News did a telephone interview with him in which he said that he's okay, that he is not being held against his will. He says he's just doing what he wants to do right now. He's spent his entire professional life on the road and traveling and just wants to be a loner for a little while. They asked about his health because people have been speculating that he may have some serious illness, and he says that his knees are not in the greatest shape. From all the jumping. If you stop jumping on people like a little monkey, your knees would be okay. No, from all the exercise, probably, you know, because they say that high-impact exercise.
Well, yeah, I mean, come on. He's 65? Maybe closer to 70?
Might even be a little closer to 70, I think.
Yeah. He always, I mean, I'm telling you, this is going to sound funny when I say this. I spent a lot of time in the 90s with Richard Simmons. Every time he came through town, he did my show, whatever show that happened to be at that point. He always was on TV. He did all media that treated him fairly.
Always the case, yep.
But for the past few years, he's been non-existent. Is there any chance he's in the basement with John Goodman?
I don't think he's being held at 10 Cloverleaf Lane with John Goodman. He sounded fine. He didn't sound ill or... like he was any desperation, a little lower key than we're used to with Richard Simmons. But that's because, we're used to Richard Simmons, at, 15, and he might have been like a, 7 or 8 this time. But he says that he's fine. So we can all rest easy. We can all sleep better tonight.
We'll come back and talk about Janet Jackson canceling more dates on tour, John Legend's Twitter fight. And, again, Dean can't review it, but he'll have some thoughts that he can't say about My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2. First, it's Traffic, and Mary has that. I want to thank all the major artists who dropped by to sing Happy Birthday this morning. Dean Richards, sponsored by the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Health Care Center. And we continue with the Wintrust Community Banks Hour.
Bernie Sanders called in to wish her happy birthday.
No, but you know what? We're talking to Mark Ruffalo on the show tomorrow, who's supporting Bernie Sanders.
Oh, very nice.
Well, so he's a nice guy, right?
He's a fantastic guy.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Super friendly. Couldn't be nicer.
So, if I mention your name, do I get twice as long an interview?
I'd probably cut a few minutes if you mention.
All right, Janet Jackson, what's the matter with her?
That's what everyone's asking. Nobody really quite knows. She has canceled more concert dates, which is the second time she's done this now on her current tour that's called Unbreakable, ironically. She's canceled all of her dates now through August. The closest dates that might be affected to the Chicago area are a June 2nd show in Moline and a July 5th June 5th show, rather, in Milwaukee. She's not saying what's wrong. In January, she canceled a bunch of shows, she said, because of a health problem. Never said what that health problem was. There have been all kinds of rumors, nothing confirmed, that she's battling cancer, but nobody—it's just kind of mysterious. Nobody is saying anything. Some are saying that bad ticket sales are to blame. The producers of the tour say that it's a very busy time for her right now because, in addition to the tour, she's got other business ventures that she's working on also.
So. Yeah, but that's a ridiculous excuse. If you schedule a tour, you don't go, well, I can't do the dates. It's very
busy
for me.
I have other things to do.
That's ridiculous.
I know I'm supposed to be in Dubai. But
hey, I know I plan to rent out your stadium. I just realized I got to pick up my dry cleaning. I'm very busy.
We Steve, as you know, we just wish all these celebrities the best.
No doubt about it.
That's all we care about.
That's the main thing. John Legend fighting with Trump? It's Trump Jr.
Trump Jr. So Trump Jr. on Friday night after the protests at the UIC Pavilion.
The rally that wasn't?
The rally that never happened. He puts out, Donald Trump Jr. puts out a tweet saying... Ha, five students, when asked why they were protesting, couldn't even answer. The participation medal microaggression generation is pretty sad. So he tweets that out. And then Oscar and Grammy-winning singer John Legend responds to that by saying, I think they were protesting your racist father. This isn't complicated. Then a Donald Trump fan, who on his Twitter account's name is Redneck Hillbilly, not making that up, it's true, said, is
John, I can't imagine what his viewpoint might be.
Said he responds to John Legend by saying, is John Legend that disgraceful? No education. To which John Legend responds, the Donalds and I all graduated from the same university, funny enough. They all went to University of Pennsylvania. But Legend and Trump Jr. Sniping at each other for quite a bit. Not exactly the most friendly Skyping if they all went to school together.
I don't understand what people don't understand about a Twitter or a Facebook fight. Because if you've ever been in an argument with anybody and you're annoyed because they're the type of person that always has to get the last word in, well, that's all of social media. Because it never ends.
Right.
It never ends until one of you gives up.
Or just, yeah, you just say, you know, this is going no place and there's no point of it. But then, you know, that's infuriating at the same time when people are saying things that you believe are unfair. You know, whatever it is, you know, Redneck Hillbilly, you know, he felt, you know, he had to get his two cents in.
Yeah, listen, it's very difficult to look the other way on nasty texts and nasty social posts. I don't see the upside to it. And it took me years to get to that point.
Yeah.
Because when you know you're playing with children, when you know that you have more skill in that particular area, it's like hecklers at a comedy club.
Right.
You know, I mean, come on. You walk into surgery and you go, oh, you're going to cut them like that?
I've sat in that studio while you were reading emails or social media, and you would get mad and type a response, and I would say, Steve, please do not hit that enter button.
Right.
The send button.
But that was 2000 and
that was a long time ago.
Nine?
That was a very, very long time ago.
I was younger then.
You're so much older and wiser now.
Hey, so no review from you on Big Fat Greek Wedding 2?
I can only say, because I'm not supposed to review it until it opens on March 25th, I can only say I was a big fan of this movie. I think most Greek people will tell you that they saw the movie an embarrassingly multiple number of times.
How many times did you see it?
Oh, how many times did you see it, Dean? I saw like 10.
I might have been pretty close to that.
Yeah, a lot.
Because you see it. You see it, and then maybe you want to go see it again, and then you take your friends, and you take your mother, and you take your aunt. And
I'm the same way with Martian.
Oh, yeah. Right? I remember being in the theater watching my Big Fat Greek Wedding innumerable times, laughing and laughing, laughing, laughing so hard. The whole theater was.
Because
I'm not just saying that, Steve. It was funny.
Because it's the biggest selling romantic comedy of all time. The biggest romantic comedy of all time. Went from being a little independent film to you know, having this kind of status.
What the hell is that?
You said Martian.
I thought, oh, is that what that was?
Called up the Martian. I don't know what that was.
Am I able to hear you in my headphones?
Yeah, I thought only I was hearing that.
Hold on. Something's on.
Uh-oh.
No.
Uh-oh, no.
No.
This is some sort of Greek conspiracy.
It is. I know, right when we're talking about your non-review.
Right in the middle of praising Greek, Big Fat Greek Wedding.
All right, it's not a review. That's
still,
the point.
Still funny, still very touching, still very loving. All the originals are back. Over the weekend, I was in New York. That's where I saw it. Sat down and talked with our pal Nia Vardalos, who stars in the movie. She wrote it. The whole ball of wax.
Can we play a clip of that later this week?
We can play that a little bit later on this week.
Dean, okay. Did she explain why, I guess, my invitation, your invitation, and Anna's, I thought we were all doing cameos in the film, in the sequel.
Yeah, that's the way the baklava crumbles.
And if there's one lesson from today's show, I think that's it.
Exactly.
All right, thank you, buddy.
Bye.
That's Dean, sponsored again by the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Healthcare Center. The big story next.
The Blackhawks!
Blackhawks Radio.
720 WGN.
Uh-huh. The Steve Cochran Show presents Hawk.
Chicago.
Opedia.
We may get a fracas here before it all ends.
A what?
It's the Hawkopedia, sponsored by Freshwave, the official deodorizer of your Chicago Blackhawks, Q in about a half an hour. What is the Hawkopedia today?
Today is a very special Hawkopedia.
It is.
The term is March 14th.
Yes.
In honor of Steve Cochran's birthday.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Subtitled, this date in Blackhawks history.
Very nice. I like this.
Okay. We thought we would recount some of the events related to the Blackhawks, which have occurred on this date. Tonight's game with the LA Kings, by the way, the sixth time in the last 7 years, fourth year in a row, the Blackhawks have played on your birthday. John McDonough and Jay Bluck of the Blackhawks have worked with the NHL to make sure they schedule a game on this date. Very nice.
It is very nice, and I was at the UC for most of those birthdays. I will not be there tonight for the Kings game, but I've been there for most of them, including with our old friend Brian Campbell.
Oh, you're taking one of my key moments.
Here comes the story.
All right, March 14th. 2010, Washington's Alex Ovechkin slams Brian Campbell.
What? I didn't know about this.
Knocking Campbell out till the playoffs with a broken collarbone, earning Ovechkin a two-game suspension. He was on your show at the time, wasn't he?
Yeah, not the dirty commie.
No.
Campbell. Campbell was a regular, yes.
Brian Campbell. March 14, 2015, Blackhawks are up for four in the third in a 6-2 win in San Jose. March 14th, 20-13, 2013, Patrick Kane scores what turns out to be the game winner of the shootout as the Blackhawks win in Columbus 2-1. March 14th, 1933, wasn't really your birthday yet.
No, no.
The date of the only forfeit in Blackhawks history.
What happened then?
Led the Bruins 3-2.
Right.
It was an original six matchup. Of course, they only had original six.
They had the original six, which is why it was a matchup.
Correct.
They didn't call it the original six matchup then.
They just called it the game. The game.
Yeah, right.
Hawks and Bruins. Hawks coach Tom Gorman was ejected. The Hawks players then refused to return to the ice, so Boston was awarded a 1-0 win by forfeit.
Really?
Can you imagine that today?
No, because we live in an era now where it wouldn't happen. But back then, wouldn't you think they'd take it outside? And by that, I don't mean take the puck to the parking lot and settle it there.
No.
I mean, literally, go outside and punch each other out until they decided to play.
Outside 1800 West Madison back then.
Yeah.
March 14th, 1991, goaltender Ed Belfour sets the club record for wins in a single season with his 39th in a win over the Kings. He surpassed Tony Esposito's old mark of 38. That record, by the way, still stands, but it is in jeopardy. Corey Crawford has 35 wins, but he still ranks sixth on the single season wins list.
He better get to 40.
Yeah. And, well, 40, but 43 is the record. And
oh, 43 is the record.
March 14th, 1992, you share a birthday
with
a current Blackhawks player, defenseman Eric Gustafsson, was born on this day in Sweden in 1992.
Oh. He was born in 92.
Where were you on your birthday in 1992?
Turning 31.
Yeah.
I probably have clothes older than that.
And that's our special birthday edition of the Hawkopedia.
Nicely done by you, and it's appreciated. All right, let's do this. Quick break. We'll come back, get you traffic, and Governor John Kasich will join us on 720 WD. I believe you ought to support Governor Kasich of Ohio in Illinois tomorrow and around the country, wherever you're listening, for executive experience and success. And for being the grown-up in the room. That was the name I was calling him long before anybody else started doing it. He joins us now at John Kasich on social media, johnkasich.com, for the campaign. Good morning, Governor. Thanks for joining us again.
Well, thank you. It's good to be with you again.
So I feel like plenty of people are talking about Trump. If it's all right with you, I'd rather focus on you.
Okay.
You know, I mean, there's a million Trump questions that you get asked all day. Why don't we do something crazy and talk about your qualifications? Because this experience thing is a big deal. You know, people go, I don't want any politicians. Look, every politician is not the problem. It's the bad ones that are the problem.
Well, look, I mean, we have to have somebody that can fix the country. You just don't go into a place with no, a doctor doesn't perform surgery without, you know, being trained. You know, politics is a complicated business, and you got to look at somebody that has a record of actually getting things done. You know, I was the chairman of the budget committee when we balanced the federal budget, also in the position of turning Ohio around. We're up over 400,000 jobs. Back in the old days when I was budget chairman, we saw significant job growth. I mean, you know, we don't want to play around and drift in this country any longer. I understand people are frustrated. They our wages aren't going up. They're worried about their jobs. They're worried about their kids. I get that, but it can be fixed. And I have fixed it before. I want to fix it again.
Because you have to be president of the United States and not president of the Republicans or president of the Democrats, how are you going to get Congress off the dime to actually get something done with you as president?
Well, it's leadership. It's having a good, solid plan. It's knowing how to work together. It knows how you... It's about knowing how to call people to a higher purpose. That has never been an issue for me. I've always been able to bring people together. A lot of Democrats, if you were to interview them, would tell you that the guy's treated us fair. He's a good guy. And that's what it really takes. It takes leadership at the highest levels to motivate people to know what it is they should do when sometimes they don't want to do it.
One of the great concerns is our security, obviously, and around the world, the tone and tenor of this campaign is, frankly, and I'm not exaggerating here, kids, it's scaring foreign governments, other governments that we need, and other bad guys that could be a threat to us. What should people know about you and foreign policy and their own security?
Well, I served for 18 years on the Armed Services Committee, and we did a lot to improve the strength of the military. I was there during the Ronald Reagan military buildup. And then after 9/11, Secretary Rumsfeld invited me to the Pentagon for a meeting with the former Secretaries of Defense. And I made some suggestions, and he asked me to continue to help. So for a couple of years, I would lead groups in and out of the building, trying to solve some of the technical problems we had. And, so I've had a lot of experience, and it is to have a strong military, but it's also to be a leader of the world and make sure your friends know that you have their back. You got to treat your friends better than you treat your enemies, that's for sure.
Governor, there was a report last week that Senator Rubio is giving the green light to supporters in Ohio to vote for you in the presidential primary, basically saying that it's not a vote for Donald Trump. Does that bother you, or is every vote a vote for you, a good vote?
Oh, anytime people vote for you, it's good. Absolutely. We want to get everybody in the state to go head out and vote for me. And I think that's fine with me. Anytime anybody wants to endorse you, anytime anybody wants to say you deserve somebody's support, that's of course a good thing.
You know, as we go into tomorrow, in particular here in Illinois, because I think you're going to win Ohio, in Illinois, it looks like it's getting closer by the hour. Turnout matters, and the thing I've been trying to stress to people all morning is you got to vote. It can't be enough to be concerned about where this country's headed. It can't be enough to, frankly, just sit around and bitch. You got to get up, and you got to make time tomorrow to vote.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right, and it is getting tighter and closer. I'm running tied for first in some of the suburbs around Chicago and second in the state overall. Look, I tell you what it gets down to. You're either going to vote for somebody that has a positive view and positive solutions who can bring people together, or, you kind of walk on the dark side. And I don't want to do that, and I'm not going to do it. And I think people are, kind of shaking their heads at what they're seeing happening, in this campaign. And I would ask them to give me some consideration for their vote.
Governor, I know you were here last week. Any plans to be here today or later this evening?
No, I'm in Ohio today. We'll be, again, continuing all across Ohio, be in Cleveland tomorrow, and then on Wednesday I'll be heading to Pennsylvania over to Philadelphia.
And as the people go to the polls tomorrow in your home state, obviously they know your story. What do you need to do as far as turnout goes tomorrow? Is there a number when people are watching the coverage, you go, well, turnout's here, then that looks good?
Well, I think that we want clearly as many people to vote in all the states. You want people to get out and express themselves and not be in a position of where they're so frustrated that they get out. You just said it. You said it at the beginning. Get out and vote. Just don't complain. Get out and make your feelings known. And however it turns out, we'll accept the results.
As we go forward in this, you talk to these guys backstage, and regardless of what happens, happens, and you go through, it's like a prize fight, right? You beat each other up, and hopefully you could be friends afterwards. Do you have to start making...
Well, I don't really see things that way. I don't think, people can get out and hit below the belt, and then they're your buddies. This is not big-time wrestling for me. This is serious business. This is about who's going to be president of the United States. And the leader of the country and the leader of the free world. This is, This is not like, let's go out on a stage and put on a performance and then go backstage and yuck it up. I don't kind of operate that way.
No, no, that wasn't what I was saying. What I was saying is that once you finish with all of this and you have to form your own team going forward, are there Republican leaders, and I know you're not going to name anybody today, are there Republican leaders that you can put together in your head of who you'd like to see around you in the White House down the road?
Oh, yeah, well, of course. You know, look, you can only do this job if you have a good team. If you have a bad team, you're going to be a weak president. You're going to be a weak governor. You're going to be, hey, look at you. You're going to be a weak talk show host if you don't have a good partner and a good team.
Right.
So you're always sort of thinking about, you know, it's a little early, but I've got so many people that have worked with me in the government, in Ohio, in Washington, people who I know that understand. You know, we've got to shake up the system, but we've got to be constructive. Yes, we got a lot of people, but you're only as good as your team. You know, you can never get, you know, think, well, if it wasn't for me, nothing good would ever happen. That's kind of nonsense. And so, yeah, we've got a lot of people helping, and we need people who understand the vision of balancing budgets and changing regulations and cutting taxes. That's how you get this country and this economy moving again.
Now, I know we're on a time crunch here for both of us, but one of the things that you know is a geographical difference here in Illinois is what we call north of I-80 or south of I-80, where people downstate think it's all about Chicago, and people in Chicago think, no, it's the farmers downstate, they're fine. You have to be in touch with the ag community as well. You feel like you got a pretty good handle on that?
Well, you know, we have a lot of agriculture in Ohio. It's
right.
Obviously one of our main industries. And, you know, so, yes, I think our effort has been, though, fundamentally centered around Chicago because it was the easiest thing for us to do in the time crunch.
Sure.
What people have to understand is, you know, as my wife says, thank God there's only one of you, John. We'd love to have I'd like to have a couple of me so I could go different places at the same time.
Sure.
But this is what we have to live with. And I got to tell you, my last trips, Palatine, being at Navistar, these were really great trips and saw a lot of great people. And I'm looking forward to coming back to Chicago. Look, Chicago is just incredible, right? It's just a wonderful place, and I just can't wait to get back.
Last thing from me, and feel free to comment or not, but look, your vote is not just to make a point. This is a job interview, and you're trying to elect somebody that can actually do the job, and that's why I think Governor Kasich is the guy that can go forward and take it from campaign to actually do the job. Anything else you want to add?
Well, that's very, very, very kind of you, and people just need to know. I don't consider myself to be – I consider myself, number one, to be an American before a Republican. That's what's most important. I'm a conservative. I believe those principles will work. But, you know, my father carried mail on his back. His father was a coal miner. My mother's mother could barely speak English. My focus is on rising people who live in the neighborhoods, rising people who live in places like Palatine, who play by the rules, want their kids to have a better future. That's what it's all about for me. So thank you, guys. You're very generous this morning. God bless you.
And good luck to you. Stay safe on the road. That's Governor John Kasich, who is obviously very focused on Ohio. There was a poll in the Columbus something dispatch. I forget the name of their local newspaper that said Trump has drawn into a tie with Kasich after trailing by as much as 5 points.
In Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ohio.
And that's why the Rubio supporters were saying vote for Kasich, because a vote for Kasich is a non-vote for Trump.
Right. And then that turned into a whole thing this weekend where Kasich said, listen, sorry, Marco, I'm trying to win this thing. No, I'm not going to win in Florida. I did try to call Rubio, and he told the story a couple times, couldn't get him, but wanted to wish him luck. He doesn't think he's going to win Florida, doesn't think he's going to compete in Florida. As a matter of fact, I can guarantee he's going to finish fourth in Florida. But if Kasich doesn't pull Ohio out tomorrow, it's good night, everybody. He's got to win in Ohio. And even a strong second place showing here would be a big deal. But there's a trend with Kasich because he's, again, the grown-up in the room is a good summation of it. He actually has points. He makes points. And he sounds like a guy to get the job done. He's got a trend going here. There's a push here, and maybe a lot closer than Trump thinks here.
I think Kasich should spend more time in Illinois. I think it would be beneficial to him, but I think you could see a double elimination. If Kasich doesn't win Ohio and Rubio doesn't win Florida,
good night.
They're both out.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Because then you can't raise the money you need to go for. The Who for Coach Q, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. And Coach Q joins us now. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing well, thanks. The Who in town the other night, and Wendy Snyder from Wendy and Bill, who follows us, was there and was backstage, said it was great. I know you were on the road, but I bet you're sorry you missed that.
Oh, I'm ever. My wife went. She said it was unbelievable.
Oh, good. She did go.
Yeah, so I missed out on a good show.
All right, so this is a big one tonight. Got the Kings in town. Every time you play the Kings, this reminds me of, Coach, this is like, I don't know, 10, 11, 12, maybe not even at a 12, but certainly 10 and 11, the old Vancouver rivalry when the Canucks are really going. I hate the Kings like I used to hate the Canucks as a Hawks fan. How's that feel?
It feels like a playoff game. I know that we've had some great runs. We've had some, you look at the playoff series, regular season games are all competitive. Our last game in there, extremely competitive game. They play a hard game. They're a big team. It's all about keeping the puck ahead of you, getting to the net, hanging out of the puck. So you got to be ready to, fight your battles and win your battles and keep it as simple as possible.
Now, one of the things that was going great for the Hawks was the power play and the penalty kill. The kill not so good lately. Is that just a minor slump, do you think?
Yeah, well, it's been, right now we're in a, I don't know if it's minor, but it's gotten to be a tough spot for it lately, and it's something we got to make sure that we can improve. We definitely, too many pucks are going in shorthanded. We've tried some different units. We've tried, putting a little bit more pressure in certain areas, but it's certainly an area we have to get better at. I know our power play's been great all year for us. It's been a real bonus for us, and we'd like to keep that going, but we know we can get better in the penalty killing. You have tough stretches every year, and hopefully we'll get the end of this one here and get some stability in it.
New top line tonight?
To
be determined?
You mean our top line?
Yeah.
Well, you mean the top two lines are going to be the same as last game.
Okay.
With Hose and Laddie.
Well, you're the line. You're the line king. I never know when you're going to hold one of the players over your head, sing that song from the movie, and change something.
Right, because life's not fair.
Because life's not fair. That's exactly right. Dave Edwards, say good morning to the coach.
Good morning, Joel. Hosa looked like maybe the time off, although I know he just assumed not have had the time off, but maybe long-term that does him some good.
I think it can help. I know that he came back. I thought he played well the other night. Looked like he was skating well. And, we feel our team game can improve in certain areas. The one is having the puck, and I think he's one guy that can keep it and protects it and defensively gets it back quicker or better than anybody. So he can really help in the areas that we're looking to improve our team game. He's just one more threat in that line. Looking forward to see that line get productive and be effective, because we know defensively very reliable, offensively they can all make plays and get some offensive zone time, and I think we can really improve our momentum in games, and that'd be the line to me to set the tone.
Coach, or as my doubles partner, as I'm now calling you, how was the mom's trip?
The mom's trip was terrific.
Yeah.
They all had a ball. I know some of the mums have been on a couple or three of them now, and I think there's a little continuity, familiarity. So they're, they look forward to seeing one another, and they're having fun. And my mum's worn out there yesterday. She's that was a tough trip for her.
Now, was that her first time?
No, it was her third one.
Oh, it was her third one. So she knew.
Veteran. Yep.
Because I think you were saying the other day when you were on with us, they were getting, some of the new moms are going, oh, look how he eats when he's on the road. Look at this. They were pretty impressed with the treatment you guys get, I'm sure.
Oh, spoiled rotten. Yeah, everything. I mean, from, food everywhere, the way we travel, the accommodations, the way they spoil them, taking them on different journeys and dinners, the whole deal. So they're and the treatment at games is what it's all about. Although we disappointed them with the Dallas game, but other than that, I thought they had an outstanding trip.
The St. Louis trip, they went to the Anheuser-Busch Brewery, which is why they had so many moms thrown out. You didn't see it; it wasn't on TV or radio.
And they were going, "Mom, refs, you stink! You're terrible! Please don't embarrass us."
Yeah, Brandon's walking around going, "Oh, we're going to have to make sure that mom doesn't come next year." So
there you go.
All right. Well, it's going to be a big night tonight, and it's going to be a big week, because this week, Coach, I don't want to give up too much here, but the mustaches are in. You know what I'm saying?
They got to be hard to give away, right?
<You're> gonna... No. Everybody's going to want a cute stash. Everybody.
Yeah, you sure about that?
Yeah, it was like a year and a half ago, I think, when I brought this up for the first time. We've had high-level meetings, low-level meetings, medium-level meetings. I've switched up the lines 12 times on this promotion.
Oh, and, there you go. Yeah, and, whatever it takes, right?
I think it's whatever it takes to win the night. And it's going to happen this week, so I think you're going to like it. You're probably going to want to have a set for the whole family.
Yeah, I don't know. Would we want to age everybody like that?
You know what? I'm getting older every day. What does it matter? Yeah. So, but have fun tonight. I'm glad you guys are back, and I think this is the run. The run starts tonight, and look out, rest of the league. I think it starts tonight.
Well, it's a big game. It's a great test, and we got to get back to closing that gap on first and second place in our division. So that's what the motivation is. We got some hard games, tough teams, very important 2 points tonight.
All right, Coach, all the best. And sorry you missed the Who Show, but I'm glad your wife had a good time.
All right, thanks.
See you later.
That's all right,
Coach thanks. Joel Quenneville from your Chicago Blackhawks. So his wife got to go to the Who Show.
Well, I'm sure if he had been in town and didn't have a game, he would have been there.
Mm. Yeah, probably. Yeah, it's a Who.
And if he was in town, they wouldn't have a game because it was at the United Center. Be hard to do both.
It's a good point, too. Dave makes good points on all these.
Thank good you. Point, yeah.
Hey, you know, I don't know. Are you like me? I'm having a hard time picturing Q rocking out.
Oh, I could see him totally rocking out. Yeah. Couldn't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. He's wearing probably his tie-dye shirt or whatever.
I don't know the about Who that.
Shirt. Yeah, I could see him rocking out.
You think he'd take one of the smaller players like Shawzy and put him on his shoulders?
Noogie, noogie, noogie.
Hey, I forgot to ask him about Kruger. When's Kruger back?
Well, they're thinking he's back skating.
Mm-hmm.
They're thinking by the end of the month, which would get him back a couple weeks before the playoffs, maybe,
okay.
Which was sooner, I think, than they originally thought when he dislocated the wrist and had the surgery. So,
by the way, Andre, you probably don't know this because why would you? But the key is they come back and they skate in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
But the test before they're put back in the lineup is they have to do a double camel and a triple toe loop.
Bounce on one skate, touch your nose, and say the alphabet backwards.
That too. That's the third part of the test. 9:19, back with the Steve Cochran Show, number 607, as we continue. It's National Pi Day. We'll get to that in a second on 720 WGN. Nice, I like it. I like it, but I'm told that you have something else to play. All right, the mystery caller right after this. Whenever you're ready, fire it up, and then we'll all be surprised together. This is a special birthday caller.
Oh, God, big baby.
That's mommy.
What an embarrassment. Embarrassment.
In the world of major market morning radio, one woman struck fear.
Big baby.
In the hearts of jovial radio talent.
Big baby.
It's Steve's mom.
Tina! Bring me the axe!
You've been warned.
Well, isn't this nice? For those of you that don't like the show, it's her fault. Good morning, mommy!
March 14th.
Doesn't ring a bell?
Annual day of reckoning. When I pause and reflect on what your father, little Deanie Summers, and I created, it was the original March Madness.
You know,
that's the line of the day.
You know, actually, when you think about it, honestly, at 55 years old, I should be more mature than I am. But really, I think it's your fault. I really do. I think it's your fault.
You should be nicer to your poor mother.
I'm always nice to my mommy.
I haven't seen that.
What is that god-awful noise blowing in my ear?
Every time I squeeze Dave, he makes that noise.
Oh, it's charming. Just delightful.
Ow, Steve,
you know,
stop.
You are all that a parent could reasonably hope for, Steve. Yeah, I thought about this morning, and I thought, here is a man with heart.
Yeah, true.
And generosity.
Yep.
Intelligence. Humor.
Well.
And an enormous ego stuffed into a wind shirt and topped with a baseball cap. It's just a daunting result. I am so proud.
The only thing missing from that description was chick magnet.
That horn has got to go, or you'll never see another birthday.
By the way, my mom whipped up a fabulous, fabulous birthday luncheon on Saturday for me, a couple days ahead of time. But, you know, she's getting older, doesn't know what day it was. And it was great. We had the whole family there. And everybody passed around Abigail like, you know, she was...
like it was her day.
Not actually a human. but that was very fun. Thank you for doing that, Mom.
It was fun. Well, don't thank me. I'm just so thankful for you. Oh, I got to go do my bracket.
Are you okay?
You could be nauseous.
By the way, Mom, we are doing the bracket breakout tomorrow on the show. But in about 10 minutes, we're going to try to explain how it's going to work to Mary. And we believe...
I love this. This is the best part of the spring season. I love it.
And we're going to go to Dave to explain the rules to Mary. So that could pretty much
rules?
End the show.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, and also, I don't know that I've ever asked you to bandage a wound of any kind. You know, I never broke an arm or a leg in front of you. So here's the thing. I have made an offer to Donald Trump today to punch me in the face. And if he's willing to punch me in the face live on the show, I'll vote for him. Now, as of now, he hasn't shown up. But that's the offer. So if he punches me in the face, do you have a steak in the freezer you could slap on my eye or something?
You know, you are an absolute raging idiot.
How about a Trump steak?
Oh, that's right. Put on your that's right. If they only existed, how great would that be?
Oh.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you for the warmth and the birthday call, and I love you, and I'll talk to you later.
Well, I have to leave now because I don't want the listeners to know how much I love you, too.
Good. I'm going to ruin the reputation. That's exactly right.
You were the original March Madness. Look
how
at that.
How funny is she? I'll tell you, I don't know. Paul Conrad thinks we hired her.
We should.
Remember that story?
Paul Conrad.
Paul Conrad thinks we actually hired her to play my mother. Oh, I think I broke my whistle.
Whistleblower.
It's 9:28. We need a break for the break for the big story coming up. Andrea has some math coming up. You doing it here?
No, I can do it after the break. I can do it as part of the big story.
Okay, good. Andrea has some math coming up to the Friday night Trump debacle, which is everything you need to know about Trump. It's he can't even tell the truth when it comes to math. It's 7:20 WGN.
Today is your birthday. Oh, I wish you many, many, many more. Today is your birthday. The one you never had before.
Sandberg, getting it done.
By the hour.
Throwing down the bumps from my blues, brother. 9:42 in the morning. Mary Vandeveld has evacuated the seventh floor and joined us in studio because she made a giant Oreo cake.
Yeah.
That looks like a huge Oreo cookie. I've never seen that before. Dave, take a look, man.
And actually, it smells like an Oreo cookie.
Now, do you take
there a lot of chocolate on this?
Do you take like do you take it apart and like lick the top?
It's like a foot across. I've never made this before. You are the guinea pig, Steve.
Yeah. All right. So what is the filling?
I don't even remember. I mean, it's like the recipe was so crazy. It was like cream cheese, Cool Whip, crushed Oreos.
Yeah.
That's the middle.
All on a heart healthy diet.
Yes.
And Mary,
I'm seeing this is chocolate chips with butter.
Wow.
And this is a double fudge chocolate cake mix.
Good God, y'all.
Mary's a great baker.
I've never tasted this before.
The fact that you got all that to stay together is amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I had to put it in the refrigerator right away because it was starting to like, you know, all over.
Well, it looks great. So thank you very much.
This is going to be fun to eat.
Permission to evacuate the seventh floor?
No, we're going to bring it up to you. Yes, believe me, there'll be a little something for you to fight with over the salespeople. Yeah. You know, the salespeople are going to come down because they're going to smell that. And every time we put food upstairs, the salespeople lose their minds.
The salespeople have their own surprise for you upstairs.
Oh, they do?
But not anymore.
Yeah. It's not really. Well,
Maybe all right, so X Surprise.
Go in the other direction.
Yep. X Surprise.
A couple of phone calls, and this is my favorite daughter, Amy Cochran. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy birthday, Father.
Thanks, kid. Appreciate that very much. And, you know, your brother works here, but based on how he signed a card I just got, you're still my favorite child.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, people have been very funny, but kind of a mean funny, which, you know, I don't do very well without laughing.
So you just called to actually wish me a happy birthday without strings?
Yes. Well, yes. Yes.
Very nice. Amy Cochran, any messages for Amy Cochran?
Hi, Amy Cochran.
Hi, Amy.
Hey, Amy. Woo-hoo.
Yes. You have to tell me if your Oreo balls are better than the Oreo cake.
Yeah, I doubt it. The ones that I make actually look like accidents.
No, those were delicious balls.
I thought maybe you were going to grace us with the Oreo balls today. That's why I didn't attempt it.
Do I have to cook on my birthday?
No.
Yes. I usually have to.
Yeah, I know. I don't really do it ever. So, thanks, kid. I love you.
Love you, too. I'll see you later.
Okay, see you. Bye. And now joining me on line 7 is my favorite daughter-in-law, Lauren Cochran. And that was a tough competition, Lauren.
Hi, I know. I'm going to compete with a baby.
Do you agree with me, Lauren? This is Ross's wife, Lauren. Do you agree with me that on Saturday, your child was being... And this is one of the things that I think is very cool about Lauren and Ross. They're very laid back about this parenting thing. Now, they may be completely bananas at home. Who knows? But in front of everybody else, they're really laid back. And I told Lauren this. When Amy was born, my first child, Mary, I don't know if you were like this, Dave. I didn't want anybody touching my kid. And we're passing Abigail Grace around like, you know, like she's the male.
She's a hot potato.
They're carrying around the antibacterial soap, though.
They got the Purell going.
They got the Purell right next to them. We never had that.
They were pretty cool about it.
We didn't have that.
Anyway, Lauren, I'm trying to. It's an attempt at a compliment.
We didn't care.
I appreciate that. Well, we called to say happy birthday, and my apologies. I think I might have worn Abigail out. She just said, we were practicing all morning, and she just said, happy birthday, Steve Cochran. But then she fell asleep. She was just exhausted.
Well, I certainly hope she doesn't decide that that's my grandpa name. we remember we were trying to name me for the grandfather's name?
Yeah, that's right. G-Pops?
Yeah, mm-hmm. G-Pops. But we've decided, obviously, that whatever she wants to call me is fine. But Steve Cochran would be weird.
That would be very weird.
That would be
weird.
A little weird.
Be very weird.
Especially now. She says it today.
But if she's sleeping, it's probably because her entire family pawed at her all day Saturday. But thank you.
She's still exhausted.
So, all right. Love you guys. And congratulations on your new job.
Thank you. Love you, too. Happy birthday.
See you.
Bye, Lauren.
How nice is that?
She's awesome.
Right?
She's awesome. And the baby made an appearance last week, a pre-birthday appearance.
Really nice.
How
really,
cool is
really
that?
Nice. I'm a blessed guy. You know what I'm saying?
Can I play something for you?
Sure.
On behalf of all the Greek community in Chicago and surrounding area.
Oh, boy.
Is this what I think it is? Yes.
So you always want us to sing happy birthday in Greek. And Dean wanted to play this earlier. Well, he didn't. He forgot it was your birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
See?
Happy birthday, happy birthday.
I don't know why. It sounds like it's wrong, right? I mean, it's just...
It's the Greek version.
This is the part where I don't know if there's cursing.
It is. Oh, you better turn this down.
Go with the beat.
That's very, very nice. Thank you, everybody, and thank you for all the nice text messages as well, and LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter. I haven't checked my MySpace page or my Friendster.
Ever.
Can I give you one other thing?
Oh, what do you have?
Okay.
Do you guys like how I insist that we don't make a big deal out of my birthday? So should I open it now?
Yeah, please open it.
Okay. This is a card just handed me by Dave. This is something that's going to explode?
No. It's very safe to open.
The envelope is green. Is the envelope made of kale?
I can't say.
It's eco-friendly.
It's a recycled card, I'm sure.
Oh, you're kidding.
You had it.
You're kidding.
We found it.
The Hooters gift card is back.
And it had
the Hooters gift card.
You had it this whole time?
Hooters gift card is back.
I never got it, though.
You did now.
No. It's all yours.
It's all yours. One day, like I said, the women of the show... We are going to go eat wings at Hooters without you guys.
When your birthday.
Let me tell you about Dave's card. Picture of an announcer on the front. This just in. There's a tasty way to enjoy whole grains and leafy greens. Feed them to a cow. They turn into a steak.
Oh, perfect.
Nicely done.
Did you read what I wrote?
Hey, not that I really believe this, but it seems appropriate. Happy birthday, Go Cats. There you go. Nicely played, Mr. Cat. Okay. Thanks, buddy. Back after this on 720 WGN. All right. We are, you know, close to done as we ever get at the end of the show. And Bill Left joins us now. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Hi, Steve. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's it. That's all I have. I don't want to overdo it. I hope you have a lot more of them. I hope you have one next year on this date.
I mean, it's a, you know, it's kind of a weak ending to a big birthday show.
I'll do it again. Ready?
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Steve. I love you.
Yeah.
Is that better?
You need a blower.
I was surprised Trump actually sent that in.
Yeah, why would he do that?
I mean, it's not like, so people understand, it's not like we cut that from an episode of The Apprentice that was a promo for someone unlike me at all.
Correct.
It's not like the Trump people would never put Trump on the show.
That's
it right. actually was Trump.
Right. Right.
By the way, I'm going to be around till about, I don't know, maybe 11:30 today, which is an hour and a half longer than I normally am, mm-hmm. you know, around after the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that offer remains. If Trump will come by and punch me in the face, I'll vote for him.
Just like a full-on knock to the face?
Yeah,
a big, really?
Yeah. But I'd have to do it on your show because I want it to be on the air.
That's fine.
Yeah.
We'll make time for that.
Paul Conrad has volunteered to do the same thing as has Dean at Channel 9.
To punch you in the face?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
Well, there's going to be a line forming.
Well, for Conrad, certainly. Yeah. What are you doing today? And where's Wendy?
Wendy, we had this plan of her jumping out of a cake to surprise you for your birthday.
And what happened to that?
There she is. The cake wasn't big enough.
Medium-sized cake is what it was.
It was a small cake.
Yeah, it was
no reflection on you. It was a very small cake.
Hard to believe you've got two daughters and a wife when that slipped out of your mouth.
That's so nice.
Cakes are small.
It's like the time you accidentally said something about a staff member dying. I don't know what we have to do with you. Bill or Wendy, now, whenever you're ready, take it.